In the years immediately following, while the revolution raged in France, Goya gradually became the favorite portraitist of Spanish representatives of the Enlightenment. However, this was also the time when he suffered an illness that left him profoundly deaf for the rest of his life. This changed the nature of his relationship to his sitters. Dependent on sight alone, he seems to have become much more probing when trying to sum up their characters. His portrait of the beautiful, capricious Duchess of Alba, holder of the grandest aristocratic title in Spain, is an outstanding example. One of several likenesses of this sitter in different forms, Goya had become part of her household. It shows her wearing a black mantilla and pointing imperiously to the ground. Inscribed on the sand are the words, "Solo Goya." These have sometimes been interpreted as a proud claim that he had become, not merely the Duchess's court painter, but her lover. This seems unlikely. It makes more sense to read them as an announcement that, "I alone did it. He alone was responsible for everything you see in the picture." No drapery painter was called in to help with the wonderfully painted lace and fabric of the clothes. It is at this point that Goya becomes one of the true greats of European portrait painting. In 1798, he painted a portrait of Ferdinand Guillemardet, the newly appointed French ambassador to Spain, representative of the Republican government. Wearing a natty uniform designed by Jacques-Louis David, Guillemardet is wonderfully nonchalant, and ever so slightly arrogant. He voted for the execution of Louis XVI. Now he has little respect for Louis's incompetent relatives, whose time will soon be up. In 1799, Goya finally achieved major official status, when he was appointed first court painter to Charles IV of Spain, Charles III's successor. The official portraits he made of his hapless patrons form an extraordinary series, particularly extraordinary because they are so frank. Charles IV's wife, Maria Luisa, the dominant partner in the royal marriage, is particularly unsparingly portrayed. For example, it is very clear from her sunken cheeks that she had lost all her teeth. One thing that tends to upset people about Goya's later portraits is that he was in some ways better at making vivid images of people we consider to be baddies than of those whom we think more highly of. Partly, but certainly not entirely, this is due to the fact that he was a dab hand at painting uniforms, or indeed any costume replete with a lot of gold braid. One of the most striking works in the show is the full-length portrait of Ferdinand VII, Charles IV's unlovable son, in court dress. Wearing the collar of the Order of the Golden Fleece, slightly askew, Ferdinand eyes the spectator suspiciously. The trappings of power somehow conspire to make him look ridiculous. Yet, Ferdinand seems to have, however reluctantly, forgiven Goya for his liberal politics simply because of his talent.